Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to part two of our conversation with Chris Nuara about finding peace and helping his clients move on from the paranormal. Are you wondering at that moment, you know, is there something medically going on with the property? Are you wondering, are we being poisoned? Is there some sort of gas in the air? Are you trying to eliminate somewhat of the logical type things with what would quite often feel to be illogical?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, I mean, we already, at that point when we were doing the removal and, you know, all that stuff happened, we had already gotten EVPs, mm-hmm. you know, telling us to get out, you know, a whole bunch of, like, you know, cursing.
Sure.
We were getting EVPs that sounded like it was Latin.
Yeah.
And,
Did you know what you were getting into in that case? Did you know that you were getting into something that was demonic and had that sort of a power to make people feel violently ill prior to going in on that day?
No, I mean, we knew that it was it wasn't a nice spirit, mm-hmm. but, you know, we knew that it was, you know, it was messing with her life, and, you know, like, she had, like, she couldn't clean her house. Her house was filthy, and, you know, one of the theories out there is that demonic spirits, like non-human spirits, don't like, they like to live in filth.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of make you not want to clean your house and stuff like that. And we actually made her clean the house. We're like, we're not doing the investigation in this house.
Yeah.
Like that. So, I mean, the lady was really nice, but she, like, you could tell there was something wrong. Like, she was like, I don't know. We honestly think it was somebody that sent it to her, that she was messing with a witch that, you know, was kind of like, kind of sent the spirit there so that she would have to pay her to help her, kind of thing.
Had you ever, or any of your team ever, come across something demonic in other investigations, whether it be with that current group or in another capacity?
Well, my team is actually Trinity Paranormal Investigations in Long Island.
Mm-hmm.
And, we've come across some dark, because we have a really good sensitive on our team, and she has, like, flash visions, and she can hear stuff that we can't hear. Like, she'll literally say, oh, I heard something, later on in review of the evidence, right after she says it, you know, right before she says it, we get an EVP. So, you know, we know that she's legit. And she's amazing. She, like, you know, she knows, you know, if it's a male or female, you know. I don't know. I don't think she's a medium, per se. She's more like just a sensitive and a clairvoyant.
How are you prepared to deal with something as dark or something that is demonic? In a home like that, just kind of, you know, on a whim, where you get there, you know, there's something that's not great going on there. I mean, are you prepared at that moment to do anything to get rid of it at that time? Are you confident that you have the abilities to do such a thing? Or is it something where we got to take a step back and reevaluate the best steps forward?
No, we definitely go right in. The reason why I started, and also, you know, doing the investigations in residential houses, was I wanted to help people that were what happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to help people, you know, explain to them they're not crazy.
Sure.
Show them the evidence that we get, you know, even if it takes a few times, because, you know, sometimes you go there for one night and you don't get too much. You know, sometimes you have to go back and go a few times. Then we present them with the evidence, and then we do a removal. We do it the Christian way, because we're all, you know, Christians on the group. And, you know, we do it with the frankincense, the holy water, you know, prayer.
How did you learn to do the removal?
I actually don't. I assist in the removals, but it's my teammate Kat that does them.
Okay.
I'm actually learning through my friend, the other guy who I went on that other demonic case with, mm-hmm. my friend Tim. He's actually ordained by the church to do it.
Okay.
To do removals and exorcisms and, you know, structural exorcisms, you know, personal exorcism, you know, natural exorcisms.
Because
he's actually teaching me.
At that point, when you're going into a home, it's not about gathering evidence or proving there's a haunting or something like that going on. That's already established. That's there. At that point, it's trying to help the homeowner and trying to help that family find peace and remove whatever it is that is troubling them. And in this case that we're talking about here, obviously something very dark. Is there ever the fear that, you know, you go in with the attempt to remove something and it could make it worse?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of times, like, cause you know, if we go in a certain removal, like, you know, if that person's not going to keep up, you know, cause they got to kind of keep it up. They got to keep their face up and not, you know, practice the occult. Like we've had people, like a lot of times, a lot of our hauntings are actually, I mean, I don't believe Ouija boards are like evil or anything, but I believe that you can open up something that you don't want when you're using them. Like, you know, the intent of it, I guess.
Sure.
And we've found out, like, you know, and also a lot of witchcraft and like, you know, occult practices actually call the spirits to them and then they can't get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just there really pretty much to help. That's what we do. It, you know, we don't charge.
Sure.
You know,
when it comes to talking about these things and dark entities coming into a home, obviously you mentioned Ouija boards. How in your experience does a location become infested with something dark, something demonic, most commonly?
Well, I'm a big believer in like ley lines and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and portals. And I believe that a lot of times when somebody lives in a certain, you know, it's pretty much, you know, like kind of like, you know, you move somewhere and it just happens to be on a place that has a very high energy level that, you know, they have to have something to be able to feed off of.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, that's why a lot of times you hear about them in like limestone caves and stuff because of the water.
Sure.
You know, genetic energy and stuff like that. But, honestly, you know, like, I don't know. Like there's so many different theories out there and it's very hard to prove with, you know, the limited amount of technology that we have for it because, you know, mainstream science thinks we're crazy.
Do you feel like, this is, we're talking specifically about demonic things. Do you feel that something demonic almost has to have something inviting it in? So there has to be some sort of human will or interaction to bring that into the house. Whereas if it's just the spirit of what was once a living person, that maybe not, that doesn't necessarily need an invite to be habitating a certain area. But when it comes to something that never did walk the earth, are those just roaming at will, do you feel? Or like I said, is that something that takes a little bit of inviting, intentional or not, for it to make itself known and to habitate somewhere?
I think it needs an invite. I mean, I think that they roam freely, but I think that by occult practices, sometimes not people don't even know that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just doing, you know, weird, whatever the weird things that they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, there's like, we have a case right now that we're doing, which actually fell on our laps. We were just doing a live for our audience. And we ended up getting a lot of EVPs and spirit box responses. And then when we looked into it, we ended up finding a lot of the names that we got are cold cases. Like, and we got a lot, we believe that there's something demonic in these woods that are actually keeping these spirits there.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've gotten cries for help from it. And it's actually we're actually doing a documentary right now about that. But demonic, I mean, I don't honestly know. I mean, I can only go by what, you know, I read in the Bible or any of the ancient texts that talk, you know, because every ancient culture talks about demons,
mm-hmm.
or inhuman spirits. So, I mean, obviously they're real. I mean, every ancient religion has something about them. And what they are, I have no idea. I mean, are they fallen angels? Are they just nasty energy? You know, like, because that's what we are, is we're all energy. And But that's pretty much why I'm doing it. I want to find out that kind of stuff. That's also why I've been linking up with a lot of other groups. Like, you know, we belong to a worldwide group, Facebook group, you know, and it has all different teams from around the world that join. And anytime they get a call, like say they'll get a call from somebody from New York, they'll, you know, they'll call us and say, hey, we got this place in New York. Can you guys get there? You know, kind of deal. So that we're trying to make it into a science. We're trying to prove it pretty much to everybody else that, you know, there is something unseen, paranormal that's going on that, you know, most people are oblivious to. I think more people believe that we think that they do, though.
Just not afraid, just afraid to openly admit such a thing is what we're still dealing with.
Especially like a lot of times, like you'll see, like when you watch the TV shows, people will get blocked out because they don't want people that know them to see them doing it.
Sure.
Those are the most believable to me because I believe, you know, they're not trying to, you know, get their 20 seconds of fame on TV.
Has there ever been a case that came to you where you felt it was too intense to investigate, where you didn't want to subject yourself or your team to what may be coming your way?
Not so far. I mean, we're pretty, you know, that's pretty much why we do it. We're, you know, we want to be able to help people that are plagued by demonic or even just nasty human spirits, you know.
Is there, this is an interesting thing because I feel the word demonic gets thrown out far too frequently, especially on television. But as someone who is out there that is investigating these things, do you feel that there are a lot of demonic cases out there in terms of comparing to cases that are not demonic, that are simply human spirits or some sort of residual energy? How frequently do you come across a case that you believe is demonic versus not?
No, I think most of the times when we go to a place, it's usually a human spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, like if there's a lot of tragedy, we believe that there can be, I don't know if it's an actual spirit, but there's some kind of energy that keeps them there. Like it keeps them like stuck to the earth. Like, you know, they don't know that they could move on. Maybe they don't even know they're dead. Cause we've actually had spirits say that they didn't even know that. We'd say, do you know that you're dead? And they're like, no, like,
mm-hmm.
But, no, I think most hauntings are usually human spirits. I mean, yes, there are definitely things out there that we can't explain. You know, there's elemental spirits. There's so many different. I mean, I'm a big believer in, you know, cryptids and aliens and stuff like that. So who knows what any of this stuff is? For all we know, we're not even talking to human spirits. Maybe we're talking to angels and demons. Maybe there is no angels and demons. Maybe everything is just, you know.
It's all very subjective. Sure. What is, tell me this, when you go out there and or when you decided I'm going to start a paranormal investigation team, beyond just you being out there trying to find answers for yourself, when you actually decided, you know, people can reach out to me. I can go to people upon request, us deeming this as something that's worth going into. What's your goal as an investigator, as a person, when someone calls you and asks for help?
Is to be able to calm them, to be able to get either, you know, disprove, you know, sometimes, you know, you do go to a place, it's not haunted, and they're just, you know, maybe they have like a leaky EMF, you know, they have a lot of EMF in the house, and that's, you know, making them hallucinate and hear things and have feelings. You know, we try to debunk everything first. We try to, you know, make sure that, you know, and then you have also, I've been on a case where we didn't get any activity. We honestly think the person was mentally ill.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we wouldn't tell them that because we were only there for one night.
Sure.
So we can't make that, you know, obviously sometimes spirits don't want to be found out. They know that you're there to remove them. I've definitely learned that spirits know more about life than we do. Like they know when we're coming, you know, they usually know our names. You know, they're not oblivious to the world like we think, you know, a lot of people think they are.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Chris Nuwara about finding peace. Until next time, for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for the support and thank you for listening.